Good afternoon, everybody, and happy Sabbath. What a blessing it is to be here today. As many of you may have noticed coming in, if you looked at the announcements, today we have a youth day going on. So before I start in sermonette, I'd like to share a little bit about what we do in the teen studies, at least part of the youth, is for our messages and what we discuss in there and the topics we do. We've been doing a lot of things in there, and some of the things jump out at us, and we'll take and we'll make a mental picture for them. And we make this picture, and we carry it along in a theme or a storyline. So what I'm going to ask you to do is write something down and ask the teens after this, after the services are over, go to the teens and ask them what this means. And this is to be a smart frog driving a brand new Corvette to a movie preview. So the three keys are smart frog, brand new Corvette, and movie preview. So ask the teens when you get a chance and see what those indicate we've been talking about in the teen studies, and I think you'll find it interesting. If someone was to come up to you and offer you a treasure map, say something like this, and guarantee that it led to over $1 billion in gold, and you only had to do two things to get this map and to claim that gold, all you had to do was ask for it and then follow the simple directions that led to the gold mine and claim it. How many of you would do that? I'll raise a hand. How many of you would do that? I know I certainly would. For those that didn't raise their hands, if this offer comes to you, please forward it on to me because I will take them up on it. Now, after you followed this map, let's say, to this gold mine, one of the things you'd want to do is you'd want to verify that it's really gold and it's not fool's gold. So we're going to take the approach today that this was real gold that's at the end of this gold mine. And it's not fool's gold. What do you think you'd do with all that gold? Just think of what it could do for you. All the things in life you could buy with that gold. All the things you could do with that gold. The people you could help. The donations, the causes you could serve with it, the security for your family. Take a minute, daydream about that. What would you do with $1 billion in gold? I think all of us would find some very productive things to do, and it would give us a lot of ease and a lot of comfort and a lot of security, wouldn't it? Well, it's a good news, bad news kind of thing. Bad news is I don't know anybody that's going to make this offer to you. But the good news is, we have somebody who's making a greater offer to us, one more valuable than $1 billion in gold. Let's go ahead and turn to Job 28, verses 15 through 19, and see what that is. Job 28, 15 through 19, it reads, "It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold." What we're talking about today is wisdom. So you think about wisdom. Is it as exciting as thinking about gold? For me, it's not. You know, I'll just be honest. Wisdom doesn't draw in that excitement. I don't daydream about what I'm going to do with wisdom. I could daydream about what I'd do with gold. And I got to thinking about this. Why don't I? I mean, this is clear. It is clear that it's of greater value than gold. Yet I'll take something of lesser value and put energy and effort into daydreaming about it. Why is that? Well, I think for myself, when I ask myself that question, I believe it's because I don't understand the true value of wisdom. And if you want a topic, or the topic for the sermon is the true value of wisdom, if you want a title. When I think of gold, I can quantify it. Billions of dollars will buy me X, X, and X. When I think of wisdom, it's harder to do that. So let's take a look at the true value of wisdom. But before we take a look at the true value of wisdom, let's see if it's the same conditions. Do we just have to ask for it and follow a few directions like we were with the gold mine? Just two conditions? Well, let's take a look at it. Let's turn to James 1, verses 5 through 6. We'll read there. So in James 1, verses 5 through 6, we have, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." It will be given to him. "But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave in the sea, driven and tossed about by the wind." So basically, you ask in faith, and God's saying right here, it will be given to you. Plain, it's simple, it's clear. That's one of the conditions. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalms 111, verse 10. We'll read a little bit more in Psalms 111, verse 10. So we read here, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who keep his commandments. His praise endures forever." To those who keep his commandments, that's basically following directions to get that wisdom. You're following those directions towards wisdom. So it really is as simple as asking and following the directions. So now that we've established that, let's take a look at the true value. Let's turn to Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18. Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. "Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot be compared with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are they who retain her." So let's look at the value here. We've got in verse 13, wisdom can make you happy. Wisdom's better than gold and silver. Nothing you can imagine compares to it. I mean, do we even get that? Nothing we can imagine compares to it. I can imagine a lot of things. But if I take it at face value that nothing compares to it, it's a pretty great value. Length of days and riches and honor, you read that in verse 16. Pleasantness and peace in verse 17. How many of us would love peace and just have a pleasant life when we go through trials? Wisdom can offer that. In verse 18, it's the tree of life. Happy, better than silver, all these things. A lot of times, I think we look at gold and we believe we can buy that. You know, we think, you know, if I had enough money, I could buy happiness. I could extend the length of my days. And we start putting our value back on gold, which doesn't have the value of wisdom. And it's like chasing fool's gold when you really think about it. How many of you have seen the movie The Ultimate Gift? Anybody out there? Sorry for those who haven't. I'm probably going to spoil it a little bit here, but I want to share this with you because I think it applies. The Ultimate Gift, it's a story of a grandson whose grandfather had passed away. And his grandfather desired to give him the ultimate gift. And so what he did is he set up a series of tests for his grandson. And some of the tests were to find out how enriching hard work is and the value of hard work and the value of making true friends and the value of giving to others and not thinking of yourself. And as he passed these series of tests, he finally came to the point where the trust fund accepted his ability to do these tests, and he acknowledged them as completed, and they gave him a check for $100 million. The interesting thing is he took that $100 million, and after learning from these tests, he went out and he built a hospital for others. He invested all $100 million of it and made himself poor again basically broke. Upon doing this, he was contacted by the lawyers again and asked them to come back down to the office that held the trust. And when he went down there, he got to see a tape from his grandfather. And he said, "If you're sitting here today, then I've far exceeded my best wants for you. Because you've taken that money and you've invested it in others and you've given it away." And in turn, he was rewarded $2 billion in assets that was still in the grandfather's account. When you think of gold and you think of wisdom, and you think of the value of wisdom, I look at these things in wisdom, happiness, length of days. Some of these things, they're like the 100 million. And they teach us and they get us to a point. But once we get to that point, there's actually more to wisdom. The 2 billion is still out there and we have to get to that point. And I'd like to take a look at that 2 billion because I think it's very important. Something in verse 18, if we look again in Proverbs 3, verse 18, jumps out to me when I was studying this. Let's read it again. "She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her." It uses the example or the comparison as a tree of life. Okay? Tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. That was the choice. Tree of life and tree of good and evil. And wisdom is compared to the tree of life. And what I'm talking about is godly wisdom. We're not talking about man's wisdom. We're not talking about the wisdom of the world. So I want to set that clear. This isn't fool's gold. This isn't fool's wisdom. This is pure godly wisdom. When you think about it, Christ is kind of like the tree of life to us also. And you can read this in John 6, 53 through 57, where it talks about us eating his flesh and drinking his blood to have eternal life. We have to partake of Christ. And so it is similar to that example. Just as Adam and Eve had to take of the tree of life to live forever, we have to take of Christ and eat of that fruit to live forever. So wisdom is compared to the tree of life. You never hear gold, gems, or anything like that compared to something that grand and that great, do you? It just can't purchase it. It can't buy it. And isn't that our hope, eternal life in God's kingdom? Wisdom is tied directly to that hope by being compared to the tree of life. Let's take a look at another aspect of wisdom. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 30. So we have in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 27 through 30, it says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise." And that's the wisdom of the world that he's talking about. "And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring nothing to the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So we see here Christ became to us wisdom from God. And if you look up in verse 24, just a little bit higher in the same chapter, "But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." So we have Christ here compared to the wisdom of God, and he was made wisdom for us. Thinking about that and keeping that in mind as Christ, in the context of Christ being wisdom for us, let's read Proverbs 8, verses 4 through 36. Now, when I was reading this, I had just come back from the same verse we looked at, and something jumped out at me. So I want to try to set the context in the same frame of mind because it really made an impact on me. Think of this as Christ talking, as Christ being in the place of wisdom, because it just, as we just read, God made Christ to be wisdom for us, okay? So as we read this, kind of put Christ in this context and think about it as we go down it. Start in verse 4 of chapter 8 in Proverbs. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and acknowledge and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that one may desire cannot compare to her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles and all judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the ways of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no foundations abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, or the fields, or the primeval dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the foundations of the deep, when he assigned the sea to its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight. Rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was the sons of men. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways, hear the instruction, and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. For whoever finds me finds life, and obtains favor in the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all who hate me love death. When you think of that in the context of Christ is wisdom for us, it's pretty impressive. It struck me, and I wanted to share that with you. So look at what wisdom can do. Look at what we just read. How does that compare to gold? How can gold compare to that? Teens, on Youth Day, I just want to share this with the youth and the teens. You're entering a time in life where your desires will have a cost. And usually it's going to be a cost of money with clothing, cars, games, college, moving out, activities, food, etc. It all takes money. So when we envision finding that gold mine, this one with billions of dollars of gold, it's really easy to take comfort in that, isn't it? To think, okay, those cares are taken care of. And you know what? You're going to need money in this world to get some things done and do things. And they're not in contrast to wisdom. In fact, if you have wisdom, wisdom can gain money, can gain the gold, and can take care of things. But it's wisdom first, not gold. So I want you to think about this, and I encourage you to look at the true value of wisdom. Pursue that wisdom. Pursue Christ with even more energy and zeal than you would pursue any other treasure in this world. More than gold, more than anything. Here is a treasure map. All you have to do is ask for one and follow the simple directions.